for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Pleb Underground is back, not nearly finny, not nearly finito. I keep adding to my stack new equipment. Cheers, Frito. Plebs keep stacking. They can't get their fill. Today, this afternoon, we're joined by the Bit Council. Pleb Underground, just getting started. A caution, this episode will be highly regarded. You're back, Pleb Underground. How you doing, Phil?
Dude, awesome. I love, absolutely love the rhyme. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. Really, really appreciate it. It's awesome to have you on the Pleb Underground show. So, without further ado, we are going to dive into the numbers.
The numbers brought to us by timechainstats.com. That's timechainstats.com. Phil, how are the numbers?
All right, here we go. Let's go through them. At the time of this recording, the block height is 757,574. The Bitcoin price, 19,418. The total public Lightning capacity, 4,957.02. I believe we hit over 5K at some point in the last few days. Anyways, Moscow time, 51.50. And the chain rewrite days, 757 days. All right.
Those are the numbers. I actually have one more number for you this week. So they say that, you know, if something's expensive, that it can cost an arm and a leg. Well, this week, the price of an NFT is a kidney, and so I think that shows that there's inflation even amongst whatever nonsense the left curve is are buying. Yeah.
That was awful. What do we think, guys? I didn't quite understand. When you posted that, I wasn't sure what that was. That is absolutely awful. Oh, gosh.
What?
Okay. Oh, sorry. Go ahead,
fuck?
Shinobi.
Yeah, so some guy decided he wanted a monkey.
They're shitcoins.
I'm sorry, guys. I have to go. That's too much for me. Thanks for having me.
Always want to leave on a high note. You know? Okay, here we go, guys. Let's take a look at something else here that we've got for the numbers. Hold on a second here. Okay, this is what we've got for the kind of the main story of the numbers that we're going to riff on. It's a tweet from Rudy Havenstein. I love this account. Here's how the Fed is currently positioned. And this was on October 3rd. Indeed, not a rock and a hard place, but not far from that. Anyways. Here we go. This is a tweet, October 5th. U.S. national debt hits $31 trillion for the first time, an increase of $8 trillion, 35% over the last 3 years. And then we had this tweet today. The Fed is on track for another large rate rise after the jobs report. Okay. So essentially, there were too many. The unemployment number went down too much, which means there was less unemployment, or there were less people that were unemployed than they expected. So they're gonna tighten rates even more. So I saw this pretty funny tweet saying, so is the goal to battle inflation or to force more people to be unemployed? I mean, they've got nothing else. So pretty much Jerome Powell has to sink the mainstream economy in order to, quote unquote, keep inflation under control. Am I missing something? Let's first go to TC. I feel like I should start with you on this one.
Yeah, I mean, this is really kind of the situation that we're in that a lot of people don't really realize is that actually because of the direction that the central banks around the world and particularly the Fed need to go is they need to actually damage the economy. they can't actually stop inflation simply by raising rates. The actual game plan, as far as what they're telling the world, is that they need to destroy demand, which includes wrecking the employment market. It includes just taking the investment markets down and essentially throwing the world into a deep recession. That's how their plan is to basically try to address out of control inflation at this point.
Unbelievable. Very well said. Very well said. Okay. Let's move on to Shinobi. You have any thoughts on this, man?
Yeah. I mean, they're in a rock and a hard place, and TC is exactly on point. Like, if you don't deal with the demand side of things, like, or just magically somehow increase the production of all the fucking shit whose prices are inflating, like, it's not going anywhere. And you can print all the money in the world, that's not just going to magically produce more food, more energy, all of these things. That leaves you with one option, like, tank demand.
Isn't this just going to produce more poverty, though? I mean,
yeah,
like, it's just to me, like, I don't understand, like, this just I just don't get it. Ant, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they want to fight fire with fire, I guess. You know, they're so close to the like this debt issue that they have, like, they feel like, you know, that if they can just print more, that's going to somehow solve it. You know, it's I'm trying to think about how to say this correctly, but, you know, you have, like, their incentives and the like narrative, or whatever you want to call it, their agenda of what they're trying to do with the ESG and all this other stuff in the World Economic Forum and all of this stuff. It's like it's counter to what is actually needed to help solve this problem that we're in. Like, in for example, like with oil, like with the energy, that's what I'm trying to get to, is like the fact that, like, these, you know, their whole incentives are, or their whole narratives is to, like, be against, you know, the real energy dense solutions, so that, you know, they can be ESG friendly and they can keep their base, but then at the same time, that's going to end up wrecking everybody and the supply chain issues. Like, everything is baked into, you know, like natural gas, for example. I was talking about that earlier, that, you know, like, all these products that are even made from natural gas. I mean, I don't want to go off into the weeds, but that's kind of what I think. They're just so close to this end of this thing, and they're trying to fight fire with fire.
Can I jump back in? Look, the important thing to realize is inflation is absolutely unavoidable, and it's also part of the plan. The thing that doesn't get said out loud enough is that the debt has to expand. That's this monetary system that the world operates on. The debt has to increase. So any idea about budget deficits staying lower, or us staying within our budget, is just totally ridiculous. They're gonna spend as much as they can because they have to increase the debt. At the same time, they have to increase the inflation. There's this nasty little term called financial repression that actually the IMF did papers on back in 2015. And this is also part of the plan. The basic idea is, wherever your interest rates are, as long as your inflation is significantly higher than those interest rates, your real interest rates are negative. So if the interest rate is 4% and the inflation is 10%, the real interest rate is -6. And this is the way that they're operating around the world with central banks. They're using this financial repression to basically allow themselves to expand the debt at an extraordinary rate, because they've got inflation raging double digits out of control. And they're using this narrative of, we got to bring inflation down, as cover for them continuing to just jack interest rates higher, which they can afford to do as long as the inflation rages even higher. So that's financial repression for you. They've got to keep the inflation high because they're going to keep increasing the debt, and these interest rates are going to keep going up.
I was not aware of the financial repression statement, so that's very interesting to me, TC. At some point, if you could send me a link to that paper that you're referring to, so I could stick that in the show notes, that'd be greatly appreciated.
For sure.
Okay. Let's get.
I think I've got a little bit more to say.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Go ahead.
I think they pretty much all covered it. The Fed has two responsibilities or two agendas, two mandates, right? You said it, one's to curb inflation and whatever that means, you know, get it 2%, and then the other is unemployment. I think that those are becoming less relevant, actually. I think it's kind of like, it's a joke. They're saying that and they'll tell the people all this shit, right? They'll say that, yes, this is what we're shooting for, but on the side, they have all these other tools and they're doing a bunch of other shit. To actually, to put it plain and simple, if just look at the incentives, what are their incentives, first of all, you know, and then you go from there. But like, that's it. But also we have a lot of other shit going on right now in the world too. So looking at it at a macro level, you know, with all LIBOR things and so forth, and TC's right about what he's saying with the regressions things, but it's also a debt-based system. You have to understand that as well. Like, this is a debt-based system. It's meant to print money, like TC said. Like, so that's the other thing. There is no hard money standard, but I'll keep it at that for now.
Okay, so I want to explain to our listeners what's going on via a metaphor, rather via the story of a very, very entertaining action film called Crank. Now, in this movie, Jason Statham plays some guy whose heart has been essentially poisoned, and if he doesn't maintain a certain level of adrenaline, his heart will stop and he will die. This is the state of the economy right now, thanks to central banking. And all they can do is stimulate the heart, essentially, by you know, supplying it with, you know, things that probably aren't very good for it in the long term, right? Electrocution, having sex in the street with prostitutes, doing a bunch of cocaine. These sorts of behaviors are not good for the health of the individual, certainly not in the long term. And this is where we are at, thanks to central bankers. They have two cranks, and each crank essentially helps one thing, right? Recession or inflation, but it does a lot more damage in the other way. So we have essentially an increasingly volatile solution that is actually an increasingly volatile problem.
I gotta say, I appreciate that take. That's a totally different take on that topic. So that's a good one. Good one, Walton. And it is true. I mean, let's be honest. You know, at the end of the day, this is all just kicking the can down the road. All right, guys, that wraps up the number segment. We are going to dive right on into the shitcoin corner.
Thank you very much to you all who've been helping fight the battle against the evil shitcoiners and supporting Hodlnaut by buying that Hodlnaut helmet from the very one and only Crypto Cloaks. If you use the code Pleb Underground at Crypto Cloaks, you can get 5% off all your orders. Here you see Phil, my very attractive model, modeling this even more attractive honey badger. In it you can store a signing device or your entropy dice. Oh, it rhymes, cool. And yeah, once again, that's cryptocloaks.com. Check them out. You can also get awesome cases for your very own node. Okay, so Shitcoin Corner this week, we have one story I think somewhat amusing. Of course, Binance having a suspected attack of around $600 million, and a statement from Binance: due to irregular activity, we're temporarily pausing BSC. We apologize for the inconvenience and will provide further updates here. Thank you for your patience and understanding. And of course, I had to share the if you haven't seen this show, it's called The IT Crowd. Very funny. But basically, the catchphrase of the IT guy, whenever someone calls down, is he just says, "Hello, IT, have you tried turning it on and off again?" Like, as the big every single time, because you got a few guys working IT, you know how incompetent some people are with technology. But of course, the point of this story, we're temporarily pausing BSC. So shitcoinery is centralized garbage. Any comments, guys?
Well, I think it's interesting that people tend to focus on the centralization argument, which is pretty unavoidable. The fact that they can pause the network, brings into question any sort of concept of it being decentralized. But I also wonder, like, why so few people talk about how is it that these kinds of hacks and exploits just continue to occur? How shitty is their code? How poorly written is their logic? How like bad is the entire thing just simply from a integrity standpoint? So not only are the people that are operating on those platforms basically in quicksand because their technology is so poorly executed, but on top of that, then it's also a totally regulated, centralized platform. So there's no hope of anything decentralized occurring there.
So it's not just shitcoiners that don't have integrity, neither does their software.
I just want to point out that show, The It Crowd, is very, I think, underrated. That's a great TV show, and that's where the meme with the guy eating the popcorn comes from. So I think that, you know, like that's a great show. But the other piece to this is this, right? Binance, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. CZ, you know, hats off to him, right? Like, he's absolutely loaded from being one of the worst shitcoiners in the world. And that platform is a complete joke. I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't need to exist. It just exists because, hey, why not print free money? And that's, look, this is the pathetic part. Like, people, you know, at the end of the day, I know it sounds corny, but no morals and zero fucks given. And look, you know, it's not his money. He's the one making money off of people's greed and stupidity. And look, they can pause it anytime they want. Does that remind us all of some other platforms like Solana, right? Where people, you know, like where all of a sudden there was a centralized, you know, you just have to go to the Discord group BSV. To find out when to reboot.
BSV.
Oh yeah, BSV. Well, that's... Nobody's talking about that. That's not even real.
Yeah, right, it reminds me though. Yeah, it reminds me how he, a while back, like I guess a couple years ago, whatever it was, you know, he had made that tweet that, you know, maybe we should roll back the blockchain or something along those lines, if I recall, right? And at the time, it was like, everybody got all crazy at him, like, you don't understand, you know, this and that. But now you see, like, oh, just put his on pause. Like, it's hilarious. And two big transactions, you know, were basically forging a proof and tricking validators. I mean, like, guys, don't shitcoin.
Fuck shitcoins.
I think, though, I think, and this has nothing to do with BS, this has nothing to do with Binance, but I really think that Solana had the right idea with having a cell phone on the blockchain. So, hats off to them. Does anybody else have anything to add to this? Shinobi, Uncle Jim, either of you guys want to jump in on this topic?
Yeah. Why the fuck don't they make an actual federated system if they're going to use a blockchain? Like, if you are not federating it, if there are not actually multiple people that have to reach consensus for the network to function, like, what's the fucking point? I mean, even Solana is like, there is a quorum of people involved in pushing the network forward. Like, a single entity can't just go off. Like, they have to get together and coordinate that. Like, it's, yeah. I mean, I see there being usefulness in having a federated system like that where there's still people in control. But if it's literally just a single guy, just use a fucking database. Like, just use SQL.
This is, you know what, Shinobi, you make a great point, and this is something that people miss, and this is something that we've explained in the past. You know, SQL has already invalidated 99.9% of the shitcoin use cases, and really every single one of these are tokens that do not need to exist to provide their service or function. Anyways, Uncle Jim, you wanna wrap this one up for us?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think everything was pretty much said, but yeah, I mean, this shit's going to keep happening because it's shit. It's done on shit. And this guy is just going to be making away with everybody's money. But yeah, you guys pretty much covered it all. Yeah.
People, you guys think CZ is going to be taking some write-offs for the losses here? I think it's an interesting perspective that these platforms can benefit from these kind of breaches especially if they're the ones actually breaching their own platform. But let's put that to the side. Even if it is an outside attacker who makes off with a bunch of funds, they can just write that off. So it sort of helps their whole accounting for the year.
Right. It's like in the fiat world, someone can sell an expensive painting to their friend who then secretly gives them the money back. And that friend donates it to an art museum or on loan and somehow gets a tax write-off. This stuff just happens faster and with so much less, you know, like actual shenanigans having to be done. They can just do it programmatically.
It's because it has no framework. It's because it doesn't actually need to exist.
Bingo. Like, I mean,
man, it's $20 to make an ERC token. You know what I mean? Like it's ridiculous. Anyways. This stuff is just garbage.
The other story I have this week in Shitcoin Corner is about how incestuous they all are with lending each other money. Here we see a report, it was shared by Turdemeester, of the lending partners of Three Arrows Capital, the big crypto hedge fund that collapsed. I believe it had $30-40 billion dollar market cap at the time, and you know this was part of the slide of 2022. So here you can see just how, you know, how mixed it all is. So you know all the shitcoiners are just lending to each other, and they don't seem to have. It's just like a repeat of the same fiat system, right? That there is all there are all these kind of interdependencies that are not often public knowledge until it's too late.
This actually reminds me of the mortgage meltdown of 2008. But right, there wasn't enough money in it yet. Right, like we were talking about something completely different that involved, you know, obviously much bigger institutions, but this was on a small scale. And to your point, this isn't going to get fixed right away. This type of crap is just going to happen again. It's just going to be a different iteration, and you'll see as more and more people join this ecosystem, okay, under unfortunately false pretenses with, you know, terrible ideas like these shit coins. It's just going to get bigger and it's going to get worse, and the hopium is just going to get fueled, right? And it's going to be brutal. So to me, like what we just saw right now, we are going to be referring back to this story in the next bull run when the next thing implodes in the same way but with a different face.
I do want to highlight just one small part of this, which is not just that it's incestuous, that there are, you know, loops going on. So Three Arrows Capital are investing in companies that are then loaning to other companies that then, you know, it's all going round and round and round. And you see here down the bottom, FTX and Alameda, of course, heavily involved. Last week we talked about how Sam Bankman-Fried seemed to be the buyer of last resort, or the lender of last resort, I should say, in all of this. But it's like many things in the shitcoin world, it's a smokescreen.
Yeah, what this says to me is that there's way too many people spending way too much money on shitcoins in this space.
Yeah, they don't cost an arm and a leg, they cost a kidney.
That's just the NFTs, Walton. NFTs, because they have so much value. They're scarce. Never forget that. They're scarce.
Dude, I can't even believe that. Like, what the actual fuck is wrong with people?
You missed last week. Last week,
like, why is this happening to me?
Last week, some guy spent, was it $300,000, Phil, on a metaverse house in Miami that had four bedrooms. He's like, you can't get a four-bedroom house in Miami for you know, like, not even for, like, $600,000. I got one for $300,000 in the metaverse.
Yeah, but that's just money. Like, that's not your kidney.
Yeah, but you
like,
can buy
if
a kidney.
You put,
sure a kidney
if you put 1,000 Bitcoin down on the table in front of me and said, I will give you this if you give me your kidney, I would say, go fuck yourself. That is my kidney. That is my health. Like, what the fuck is wrong with people?
But there is a big like organ black market, right? Or even like kind of a legal thing, right? People can choose to donate and you know, organs and make money from it somehow.
And there's nothing more infinite than human stupidity. So we put these two things together and boom, organs for NFTs or shitcoins. Same difference.
It's just like, oh my God.
Oh dear, now someone's going to sell NFTs to try and raise money to buy an organ that they need.
These are all terrible ideas, and there's a reason why they fail, okay? And this is the reason why we can't have nice things, okay? Like, this is what it is. This is what happens.
What's that, Jim?
I was just going to say, it comes full circle.
All right, does anybody else have anything to add on this story about the Celsius Rodeo Circus and Three Arrows Capital and essentially how they just destroyed everyone with their liquidity?
It's going to be a cascading effect, basically. Just that's the issue. When something does break, that's what happens. I mean, just look at the chart. But yeah, that's
it. Circular thinking, circular lending, and circular jerking.
Do we think it's over? Do we think that it's over? That's also the question, no, right? Because
shitcoins are going to exist.
Huh?
Shitcoin is going to exist as long as fiat.
No, but I mean the damage. Right? The damage from Three Arrows Capital and their exposure to Luna and all of that. Like, do we think that fallout is completely over? Because don't forget, the only thing that seems to bring these things out is when the Bitcoin fiat price drops to certain levels. And then all of a sudden people realize, oh man, we're freaking broke, you know? So.
And why? Because basically, yeah, no, right. And simply because they were probably over leveraged, obviously, right before. Oh, Bitcoin's going to pump. We're going to, you know, we'll take out a bet on this. We'll put down on this or whatever. And then it doesn't, right? And that's what happens. I was going to add just on the real quick on the Celsius thing. What that is like people said they went under or whatever, but they just took, it's like Chapter 11, whatever. They refinanced and they restructured their whole business. People are like, oh, they're done. Well, no, they're technically not. So, like to kind of answer your question, no, a lot of these will be doing probably the same and figuring out other ways, having their distressed debt bought off by some other company, like in that chart that you saw, and the cycle goes on, but we'll see.
No, very good point.
Get doxxed in the end anyway.
You do indeed, which actually brings me to my third story. So doxing, yeah. This week we hear about the doxing of all the incels, those in Celsius. CoffeeZilla reporting that Celsius doxed all of their users. Oh, and just before they went bankrupt, their CEO withdrew $10 million in cryptocurrency. We have Celsius. I believe they were forced by the courts to reveal all these user details. But all their shenanigans.
So
like, not your keys, not your coins, right?
To bypass, I don't know if I'm cutting you off here, but to bypass all like FDIC regulations and shit too, they basically say that their clients or their customers are creditors, right? You know, so by doing that, they need to be more transparent too, though, because they're not going through all the FDIC bullshit too. But so then, like you're saying, like, yeah, they basically had to give it up to the courts. Yeah.
All I got to say about Celsius is this. I'm going to admit it. I was fooled by Celsius before they had their shitcoin. And Alex Mashinsky was explaining that it was like a Bitcoin savings account. And because Alex, I was one of those people who got fooled by the fact that he did voice over IP. So it was one of those situations where I saw what he did and I was like, oh, this guy's legit by virtue of look at what he's done. And you know what? Once they came out with their shitcoin, I was like, oh God, this is not good. I mean, I already started to have doubts and then they made their shitcoin and I was like, okay, that's it. I'm not using this anymore. So yeah, that was definitely
Signal. That's kind of how I feel about Signal.
Yeah, exactly. Signal also huge disappointment. And again, right, like, you know, people can justify to themselves why a token exists, but at the end of the day, it is to monetize something for nothing. It creates monetary value out of thin air, just like our current system. And that's garbage. And that's what we're trying to get away from.
Anyway. Oh, it steals it from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's this simple. Like, you have high yield returns. There is going to be high risk baked in there somewhere. That's just how that works. But I mean, like, as far as this specific situation with like all the user data, people should be pissed at that judge and with the court. Like, the just that, okay, this is how things traditionally work. So put everyone's information out there. Like, that is very, very different with an asset like Bitcoin that you can just take. And once you take it, like, good luck getting that back. Like, if somebody knows what they're doing, like, you're never getting that money back. And anybody self-custodying, it's sitting somewhere. Like, there is no bank. You don't have to go in. You don't have to get through the vault or security. It's just somebody at their house. And like, to just put all of that information out there publicly, because that's how this is traditionally handled in that type of situation, not giving any kind of leeway or like specific consideration for the unique context here, like, that was so fucking irresponsible. And like, at the end of the day, it's the judge who did that who should really be blamed here, not Celsius.
Once again, you're highlighting a very good point here, Shinobi, that KYC laws essentially just harm normal people that are basically complying, and that's wrong. Like, the if it's meant to be about protecting consumers, then it shouldn't be, you know, these kind of people who get doxxed in this kind of way. It's wrong.
Yeah, KYC can literally get people killed. It's supposed to be protecting us.
I think Giacomo said it best. I saw this tweet yesterday.
I think it was Giacomo.
I'm sorry?
I think it was Giacomo.
Yeah, and he just totally dismantled KYC, explaining that was the whole point of money. You shouldn't actually, you don't need to have KYC. And we can see as a result, right, that KYC... Yeah.
Different point.
Different point, but...
Yeah, the whole point is, if you have money, you don't need to have a trust relationship.
Exactly.
If you have a trusting relationship, you can just kind of use debt receipts.
But in terms of KYC, right? Okay, so I've spoken with Dr. Ron Paul in the past, okay? And he's the KYC expert. He's done probably the most extensive research that there is on KYC. People should look him up. I'll add a link to his website in the show notes. And look, you know what I mean? They spend approximately, I think they spend approximately $10 billion a year on infrastructure for KYC. I'm not sure if that's the US or Europe. And out of that $10 billion, they get back approximately 0.01% of that expenditure. Okay. Do they get back from KYC actually doing its job and stopping criminal activity? Because KYC is just a checklist. What it does is it tells a criminal, listen, if you want us to transfer your money, this is the stuff you need to comply with so that we transfer your money without any questions. It's like, think about that. It was never meant for criminals. It was literally meant to be another gatekeeping mission, another stop in the road for a lot of honest business people to get stuck up on. And it becomes a barrier to entry because a lot of this stuff costs money. So it keeps smaller businesses, believe it or not, out of, in some cases, being able to grow, because they then have to implement this KYC moat that all, you know, this compliance crap that costs a lot of money. Anyways, it's just crap, and it's a huge scam, and it does nothing to help us.
You're right. I think this past year in 2022, projected spending for it'd be AML, anti-money laundering, and KYC spending is projected a total of $1.6 billion. It's like 15% increase, I read that the other day. So, like, it's insane. But yeah, just to give you some numbers there, but it's, yeah. And they say it's to, you know, fight financial crime and stuff like that, which is, you know, that's the front, just, I guess.
Just part of a big surveillance web, right? Under the guise of safety, but actually it's just about taking away privacy from normal hardworking people.
It's a bit like control.
Even gun laws. It's control. Yeah, gun laws are a similar thing, right? Like gun rights are just about restricting normal law abiding citizens. The criminals don't have to follow them, right?
You know what? In Canada.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that criminals break the law, Walton?
I know, it's insane, what? Right? I know.
It's like in Canada, they have a gun registry. It costs, okay, so this was already 15, 20 years ago. It cost $3 billion a year. How many criminals do you think were registering their firearms with the government? To your point.
All of them, right?
All of them, of course. Hold on, I'm going to commit a crime. Let me just register this weapon so you know who I am. I'm telling you, we live in such a clown world. Okay, do we have any final thoughts on this piece before we wrap up? No? Okay.
Fuck
KYC, fuck AML, fuck shitcoins.
I love it. I love it.
The shitcoin corner.
I love it, Walton. Fantastic. All right. We are diving into the Hopium. Hopium is brought to you by representltd.com. Check them out. They've got awesome, awesome clothes. New t-shirts that I just got. That's right. I've got a few more to unwrap. Very nice. Excellent quality. Right now, I'm wearing the Bitcoin hoodie, which you can't see the logo. There it is. Very nice quality. Check them out. RepresentLTD.com. All right, guys. On the Hopium, I'm going to cover this story. It's Grayscale unveils mining hardware exposure via private product. Interesting. A new private co-investment product from Grayscale Investments is designed to allow investors to gain exposure to mining hardware as it seeks to capitalize on buying opportunities in the distressed segment. I want you guys to pay attention to that, right? Because technically, we're in a bear market, right? And Bitcoin is dead. Okay. Capital raised by the Grayscale Digital Infrastructure Opportunities LLC, GDIO, will mainly be used to purchase mining hardware. GDIO will employ its hardware by seeking to mine and sell Bitcoin daily and will look to distribute a portion of its operating income to investors quarterly. That's going to be tough to keep up with. Anyways, mining Bitcoin has become less profitable in recent months as Bitcoin's price has fallen about 70% from its all-time high reached last November. That's a key point here, okay, that we're going to end up coming back to, but in a different way. In the coming months, we anticipate mining equipment will become available for purchase at distressed levels. Foundry, a fellow DCG affiliate, is set to manage the operations of GDIO. Foundry provides financing for Bitcoin mining equipment and access to equipment manufacturers. Now, something that didn't happen in the last quote-unquote bear market that did happen in this one, or I should say is happening in this one, has to do with the story of the hash rate. So remember this, Bitcoin mining has become less profitable in recent months, right? So what they're going to do is they plan on buying these miners. They plan on injecting liquidity to the mining industry by essentially buying these assets from the miners on the cheap. Okay, so that means that you have people willing to sell these to you at possibly a loss. Okay, number one. And number two, it means they're possibly not using their miners. But let's take a look here. This is the total hash rate. Now, of course, even though this is quote unquote live, it's not exact because it's calculated essentially every 24 hours. Okay, but we can see right here, okay, from the beginning, this is the hash rate. And take a look at that. That is just up and to the right. So I think, don't get me wrong, Grayscale is placing an interesting bet, but I don't think that they're going to be able to necessarily buy those distressed miners that they think they're going to be able to buy, because the hash rate's sitting at all-time highs, and supposedly Bitcoin is quote-unquote not worth mining, right? It's dead. So why would the hash rate continue to rise? And who's selling them those miners? Anyways, The reason why I call it hopium is because I think that Grayscale is going to have a harder time buying those quote unquote distressed assets than they think they will. Anyways, let's start with we'll start with Walton, and then we'll go around the room on this one. Walton, what are your thoughts on this? I'm not a fan of Barry Shilbert. I just putting that out there. Not a fan of Barry Shilbert.
No, his tweets usually are a bit like Schiff tweets. In that, you know, he basically called. I mean, he doesn't do it as ironically as Peter Schiff, of course. But if Barry's like, "Oh, I'm feeling a bit bullish," usually that's because he's trying to build a market that he wants to sell into.
Yeah, I also find.
This story I think is also very interesting, but not for the reason that you said, Phil. I think your theory is interesting, but I think they're not going to have problems getting hardware at distressed levels. Already today, you can get ASICs that were selling for over $10,000 a year ago for under $2,000. It's been a dramatic drop in hardware cost, especially on the resale market. And part of the reason for this is that as this hash power increases, so does the difficulty. So miners that are not operating efficiently, they're paying more for their electricity or a variety of other reasons. They are struggling as the income they're making from their miners is decreasing corollary with the increase in hash rate. So this is actually causing there to be an increase in the number of ASICs that are for sale on the resale market, which causes the price to drop. So it's not going to be a problem for them to get cheap mining machines. The problem for them is going to be to turn a profit with those cheap mining machines, because for the same reason that people are selling those machines, they're going to have an increasingly hard time mining efficiently with older machines. What's happening is the rate at which the technology is improving and the average hash rate per ASIC is increasing. These machines from the last couple of years are quickly becoming outclassed. It's the same thing with the S9, which was kind of the standard ASIC a whole cycle ago. Those things are being practically given away now, and it's because they're just not competitive. You need nearly free energy in order to be efficiently mining with them. And what's interesting is that the machines that were made just a year or two ago, these sort of 100 terahash range machines, are already kind of being outclassed by new generation hardware that's coming out right now. So I think that their business model is questionable, because they're not going to have a hard time finding cheap hardware. They're going to have a hard time turning that into a profit, either by mining with those machines or by trying to resell those machines later, because the value's not going to necessarily hold in those machines, or it may not recover to the levels that those that hardware was selling for before.
I mean, I don't know about that, TC. I think,
real quick,
like, when you start looking at wasted energy, like flare gas mining, excess hydropower available places, things like that, I think that once the price turns around and starts going up, even like relatively old hardware will still like be in a profitable range. I think that's going to probably hold true for a couple more cycles to come. So I think like snapping up cheap hardware right now at the bottom here, I mean, you might have to put that on a shelf somewhere and wait a while to plug it in. But when the price comes up enough to actually support that profitably, you'll have it there. You'll have gotten it very cheap. And, you know, the manufacturing rate of new equipment, yeah, it might be more profitable, but like there's still going to be room in the difference between operating costs and the price of Bitcoin to keep even older hardware profitable. And like, this is actually something I've kind of been expecting and waiting to see. It just kind of sucks, like seeing a huge company like Grayscale kind of getting ready to play this strategy instead of smaller players like Upstream and Kaboom Racks that have been doing this kind of hardware accumulation already.
So yeah, just to be clear, real quick, I don't know if anybody knew, but they're partnering with Foundry, so it's a co-investment basically. So yeah, just keep that in mind.
And also, to add to what Jim is to what Jim just said, that they're co-partnering with Foundry, but also they're planning on exiting this position that they're building right now. They said in approximately 8 months or so. So they're gonna, because that's when they expect essentially the quote unquote bear market, to end, and that's essentially when they expect to dispose of their assets that they've accumulated. So they essentially what they're trying to do is exactly that. They're trying to buy this all on the cheap and then sell it when Bitcoin goes back up. Anyways, interesting.
Yeah, that's a big assumption on the price and the timing. But on top of it, like, just look at the energy market right now. The trend is energy is getting more expensive. So I think for a variety of reasons, it's presumptive of them, especially with a short time frame, to think they're just going to flip these things and make a big profit. I think it's going to be challenging. If they had a longer term outlook and they were looking more in terms of like a 4-year cycle, maybe that's a better idea. And I'm not saying it's not possible to buy this hardware cheap and then flip it. It's just challenging, and there's a lot of people trying to do it. So I don't think it's the kind of thing, it's just a slam dunk.
Totally agreed. They're trying to time the market.
Right, too. But also, like, it's a co-investment, so it's basically on the side of a portfolio fund, right? And they're having people are going to put up money to invest in that. They're going to give that money to Foundry to run the day-to-day operations, right? I agree with everything you're saying, Susie. I'm just saying, like, this is a money grab for them, I think. Like, if they're going to suck your money out, they're going to flip it. That's basically what happens, private equity, those kind of funds anyways. Like, they're looking for an exit eventually, whenever the fuck it is. Who knows? They're playing this bear market thing, and they're going to flip it in, like you said, 8 months probably. And we'll see what happens. But, yeah. And also, don't forget about their NAV. Their NAV is trading at, what, 30%+ below at a discount. So, like, keep that in mind. I would, they need some cash.
But you can see, why this is hopium.
100%.
See, this is kind of the point, right? We get to this point in Bitcoin, and this is what I learned in the last bear market. This kind of news isn't really, like, it's not bullish for Bitcoin, so to speak, in the grand scheme of things. It's nothing. It's like the drop in the bucket. But unfortunately, when you have a quote-unquote distressed fiat price for Bitcoin, people look at this and they try to draw a little more importance from it than what it's worth.
Phil, I had a thought, I can't remember, it was yesterday maybe, about hopium and about how we do this segment here on Pleb Underground in comparison to, say, how shitcoiners may look at these kind of hype stories. And often what we're telling people to do is to zoom out and to largely ignore these stories, whereas shitcoiners are trying to tell people to only focus on this story because it's going to cause a pump tomorrow and you're going to be filthy rich. And they're trying to distract you towards these stories rather than, give a bit of perspective and say, hey, keep stacking. It's not happening tomorrow. This is a long-term game. Not a game, right? It's not a game. This is a long-term. You're trying to build for the future. You're trying to build some wealth, build your life, build a family, build a business. You're not trying to win the lottery. And if you are...
It's not happening in Bitcoin. you're going to the shitcoin casino and you're going to get fleeced.
It's probably not happening anywhere. Like, it's probably not going to happen anywhere. Like, it is the point is you need to create some good habits and you need to invest some of your time and you need to get building. Like, you need to quit making excuses. This is Pleb Underground. Today, we, of course, have the Bit Council, the Bitcoin Council of Autism. My Bitcoin buddies here with me today, and Phil. Guys, thanks for being here. It's been nice to have you, but we'd also like to ask you a few questions. Shinobi, what happened last night?
Oh, some fun shit. Partied hard, didn't we, Jim?
Yep, but didn't mean to.
Tell us what happened.
Oh, I got drugged.
Yeah, we think he got drugged.
We're having a hard time hearing Uncle Jim right now.
Lights are on, but nobody was home. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
I think what he's saying is later on in the night, he was trying to talk to Shinobi, and Shinobi was not there.
So
no, but quite literally, I was drugged. Like, literally finished a drink, only had like 6 drinks. Within like 5 minutes of finishing that last one, completely disoriented, like no idea what's going on, can't think clearly. Somebody literally drugged me at a bar.
Yeah, and you still have your kidney, right? You didn't just get an NFT?
Yeah.
Okay.
Both are still there.
Okay, good.
Wait, but maybe someone stole his kidney.
That is scary.
Yeah, because actually there might be now NFT like fiends stealing people's kidneys to buy more NFT.
I'm just Jim
is a real hero there. He saved my ass, got me in the car home. Yeah.
When you say he saved your ass, you mean like literally here?
Possibly.
Yep, definitely. Okay,
so hold on. So Jim, I gotta ask, was there somebody essentially trying to accost Shinobi? Was there like, you know, a lady or a dude that was like trying to take him away while he was ripped?
Well, that was the thing. We're not sure because they were kind of closing too at the time. And our server guy happened to be gay, whatever. And I ordered 2 drinks and first one for Shinobi and me. What? I can't talk with. Okay, I'm sorry. And mine came in a can. His was an open glass or whatever, right? And so who knows? We drank them. We walk outside. We go to get it a lighter. Blah blah blah. And I come back out and I'm looking at him and I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Shinobi, give me the lighter." And he's just staring at me, just like staring at me. And I'm like, "Give me the lighter." He just wouldn't do it. Didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, "What the fuck is going on here?" And then he was just trying to figure out his way home and he couldn't do that. So I'm like, give me your phone. And I was surprised that I actually like knew, I didn't know what was going on with him, but I'm like, and I'm thinking, I'm like, I've seen this guy drink too. And we didn't even drink that much, you know? And it was weird. Finally got him in the car. I'm like, damn, should I probably have just like went home with him, you know? Because like, who? I don't know what the hell, if he can just, you know, he's gonna pass out in the back. He's gonna even know how to get the hell out of the car when he gets home, you know, or whatever. But luckily, he made it, and thank God for that. So, yeah, it was pretty scary. It's kind of weird, though.
Based on your story, I feel like the waiter was involved. Might have been the waiter.
What's the moral of the story here, guys?
He was holding his cup of espresso the whole time, basically. Like... Sure, right? Yeah. I don't know. Have a buddy.
Buddy system.
That's be friends good. That's with a good Jim, one. And you won't
was,
get
was the
raped.
Waiter hitting okay. on you?
He's acting a little weird a couple times.
Oh, yeah. He was saying that, something. But...
But guys, this clearly highlights the importance of using multi-sig wallets.
That's right.
Just in case you get floorsied.
Multi-sig signing devices, not wallets.
Correct.
No,
yes.
I disagree. It's a multi-sig wallet.
Oh, so wait. So it's a wallet when it's multi-sig, but when it's single sig, it's a signing device?
No. There's a difference. So there's the software is a wallet, but you use signing devices with the wallet software to sign transactions.
Wrong.
Okay, TC, go on then. Tell us how it is.
The private key is the wallet. Hardware, software, these are all just tools to interact with it.
Well, this is what I'm saying. This is the point, is that the wording is confusing, and I think the word wallet gets used for multiple things. To me, it's more like that's what you use essentially to find your UTXOs is wallet software. Given it the private key.
Language is a shit coin. Maybe the English language specifically. I don't know.
That's what she was like. Talking last night.
This conversation needs more lawyers.
needs fewer lawyers. Like, this is the best thing about Bitcoin, is that it's money without lawyers.
Money without lawyers. There's lawyers in Bitcoin.
Yeah, fuck lawyers.
Some of them are nice.
Except for Hodlnauts lawyers. Those guys are cool.
That's right. Hodlnauts lawyers, those are cool people. And speaking of which, don't forget, if you want to support the Space Cat, defendingbtc.com. Just thought I'd put it out there right now. All right, what else you got, Walton, for the Council of Autism?
I'd like to hear from Ant. Of course, Ant is the producer, the mastermind behind timechainstats.com. And obviously many of us love the site. We like that, you know, dark mode is enabled by default. We like that there's no cookies. We like that it's Bitcoin only. What more can you tell us about the site, or rather tell our listeners for those that aren't so familiar?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I can tell you that I just put out a little mini update that has we're tracking how many barrels of oil can one Bitcoin buy. And then we're all
0.69 update, right?
Yeah, that's right. So you've got you can take the WTI price and you can do that little calculation. You can figure out last time I looked, it was like over 200 barrels or something like that. And then with every barrel having 5.8 million BTUs as a number, then you can also calculate, you know, how many BTUs can one Bitcoin buy. And so that's on the site. And then I just recently added, in the same vein, you know, how many metric cubic feet of natural gas can you buy with one Bitcoin? So you can find all that. Like, as soon as you pull up the site, it's right there on the right. And I just added some other stuff. And then TC, of course, helped me with the web app. This is something that, you know, I was always thinking in terms of, like, you know, doing apps for, like, traditional app development, which is not the same as web development for any of the listeners. It's not like a web developer usually just knows how to develop apps for, you know, Google Play or the Apple iOS store. And then one day TC was like, why don't you just do a progressive web app, a PWA? And, you know, I took a look at that, and it's only like two files basically that you add to your site, as long as it's responsive and already transforms on different browser or different screen sizes, then you can have a progressive web app. So that was kind of a new update that, you know, users have been hitting me up about that they like. But I can say that there is the exciting 0.7 update coming soon. It's really big. So it's basically the biggest update yet. And that's why it's taking so long. It's kind of something that I'm, you know, doing on the side. Like, I don't make any money from Time Chain Stats. So it's just kind of like a personal project. The projects that pay the bills have to come first, but I am making slowly, you know, slow but sure progress on it. And it's going to be really cool because it has a ton of stuff that literally a lot of people have been asking me about. Like, one time, even at Bitcoin Miami, I was standing with Shinobi at the bar. And, you know, that was the, you know, one of the times Shinobi was telling me, like, the first time that, you know, he liked the site. He said it was legit. And then he said, but you need to have more mining stats. And he's right. And so that's one of the things that I've got packaged up. I've got some other people that wanted to see volume stats. I've got just all this stuff that people have asked for that I haven't included.
On units, and like, to me, like, I like that you have, like, how many of a certain item a whole Bitcoin can buy. But given that it's the bear market, do you not think we should have these burgers and ramen priced in sats instead?
Yeah, so that's one of the 0.7 updates, is we're going to have the true sat switcher. So every data point is going to be switched over. Those are two of the big ones, is that we'll have multi-currency support. I haven't had that before. I've had the data, but I just haven't, like, turned it on. I haven't, like, made it a possibility yet. But I've had this data for a long time. So we're going to be multi-currency, and then being able to have true, as a part of that, is sats to BTC. So just like how dark mode is by default, I'll probably have sats the default. And then, you know, you can switch it over to Bitcoin if you want. Whole Bitcoin.
That's the standard.
That's right. Sats the standard.
Yeah, but it's cool. I mean, one of the things, you know, like I said, I mean, I made this site for myself back in the day. I made it because, you know, I didn't, you know, really trust all this other stuff. CoinMarketCap was bought by Binance. So I was just like, wow, like, okay. And then you know, that was a little too close. And then, you know, just some other stuff out there where I was like, I wanted something where I could go look at and just have something. I also, you know, I worked in advertising for a long time. I didn't want to have that on this product. Like I said, I don't make money from it. It's something that I need for myself. So as long as I'm going to be a Bitcoiner, I'm going to have it. And so I just built this site. Originally, it was something a lot less, and it's been transformed basically by the plebs. Like, they give me, you know, feedback, and I'll add it here and there, or I'll see something out there that I like, and I'll redo it. Like right now, you know, I made a, there's like a bunch of things that I want to add because, you know, I don't like Glassnode's business model, for example. You know, I think this data should be free. It's too important to be like locked up in paywalls and stuff like that. So, you know, I didn't want advertising on the site. I have this site that I wanted to be able to just look on my phone and like see this stuff easily. And, but I will say that over the last year and a half or so, like, I have gotten this like outpouring of love from the community, and it's been really cool. Like, you know, you guys don't know, I'll log into Twitter in the morning and I'll see all these people talking about time chain stats, or they'll be retweeting it, or they'll be like having nice things to say. I'll join a space and I'll be listening to a Twitter space, and all of a sudden someone will be in there talking about time chain stats. And as somebody who's a builder, I can tell you that is like, I mean, obviously I need the site, but that is like a major motivator. Like, it's awesome to hear that stuff. And sometimes my wife will be in the room and it'll be worth it, because, you know, she wants me to monetize it.
Pretty
but
cool.
It's pretty so cool.
Yeah, Yellow said, like, in, you know, in the off season, you have to either be building or tweeting about building. I try and build, but I also like to talk about and promote cool things that Bitcoiners are building. Of course, your site is one of the very best. So thank you very much for your contribution, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I will leave it with, there is the sister site, BTC Lexicon, and that's basically like a glossary of terms. And that came about because I was sending out links to everybody that would ask me stuff about time chain stats. They would see the site, like my friends and family and stuff, and they'd be like, well, what is the halving, you know, schedule? Like, what is a difficulty adjustment? Like, they wouldn't really understand. And so then I was sending links. I had this little list of links that I was picking and choosing from to send out to people, these like verified links. At the end of the day, I said, man, I got to make something that can just explain this to everybody, and I have to link it through the site. So if you're on time chain stats, be sure to hover over everything, because there's a lot of little Easter eggs in there to help understand stuff, help you understand stuff. And then you can always link over to BTC Lexicon.
We're going to put a link to that in the show notes. Guys, Walton, is there anything else, or are we going to do some final comments here before we wrap up?
Yeah, well, I have one final comment. I want, of course, everyone to go out there and buy our bought Tarantula's book, The Bitcoin Standard. It's the standard now. Yeah, thanks, T.
Oh, God, that's brutal. That's awesome. Okay, very cool. I'm sorry, do we have any final comments from our very highly regarded guests? No? Okay.
Keep your eye out. Financial repression milkshake. It's what's happening. The inflation's going up. Interest rates are going to go up. It's all going up. Up only.
Doesn't sound like it tastes as good as dollar milkshake.
No, it doesn't.
No, it's nasty. It's nasty, nasty. Prepare accordingly.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good at all. All right, guys. Don't forget to check us out. We're wrapping up the show. Don't forget to check us out on plebunderground.com. We put out daily content. We've got the meme compilation. We've got Pirates Bear Market Diaries. And of course, don't forget to check out the Bitcoin Council of Autism Spaces, where you can check out these awesome guests. And of course, my co-host, Walton, who's also there. Don't forget to support the Space Cat, defending BTC. .com. And for all of our audio only episodes, check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream us sats, check us out on fountain.fm. You could stream us sats through Breeze.
Fuck shit coins.
Fuck shit coins.